We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on WILL. I'm Rick Atterbury, a friend of WILL, and I'm privileged to be filling in on this hour of Focus, where we'll be featuring Ask a WILL Manager. Our guests are Mark Leonard, General Manager of Illinois Public Media, Jay Pierce, Director of Created Content, and David Teal, the Program Director of WILL Television. As always, your participation on Focus is welcome at 333-9455 or toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. Or if you prefer, you can send us an email at will-talk@illinois.edu, will-talk@illinois.edu. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Rick.
As we start here, can each of you briefly describe your roles at Illinois Public Media and WILL? And Mark, let's start with you.
Well, I'm the general manager, which means that I'm responsible for the overall oversight of the activities of Illinois Public Media, which include AM, FM, television, and an increasingly important component, our web and new media applications. So in addition, I'm ultimately responsible for helping to raise the money that supports the service and how that money is invested back in the service, hopefully on behalf of our members and our communities.
So it's the place where the buck stops.
I guess you could say that.
Jay, Director of Created Content. Yeah. You and I have known each other for a long time through radio. But what's Director of Created Content?
Well, it's a new title in the industry that's gaining a lot of attention. And when I started here, I was the Program Director of the AM station, which meant I was in charge of all of the programs you hear, whether they be from NPR or local programs. And then I was the manager of the radio stations, which, you know, meant I reported to Mark and basically carried out the day-to-day operations of the stations. And now, as director of creative content, what it does is it says, all right, we have three television channels, we have three radio channels, we have our online efforts, and we have our public engagement efforts. And so what my job is to be what we call platform agnostic, and that means to be in charge of all of the locally created programming, that is, things we produce here, like this program, Focus, our news, Illinois Pioneers on television, the baseball reports that Jeff Bossert did that were attached to the Ken Burns series, Illinois Gardener, and then the online content, the news content and things you see online, the Illinois Gardener webpage. So I'm in charge of all of that locally created, and we call it content, because it goes online, it goes on the Facebook page, comes into your smartphone, whether it goes on television. And part of that is a recognition that we can have much more of an impact and create efficiency by creating things that go on multiple platforms and reach different audiences in different ways.
I think as we speak, there's an example of that going on in the next studio. They're interviewing a political candidate.
That's right.
But they are also doing a small video recording, so that'll become a streaming piece online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll go on the Facebook page first, and then it'll go on our election site. Yeah.
David, what does the program director at the TV stations? Stations now.
Well, that's true. Stations. Well, channels anyway, yeah, at the very least. Well, it's my job to select and schedule the programming that airs primarily for our main channel, which is, you know, WILL HD, you know, the channel that most people are familiar with. So, I mean, I schedule that channel and go out and, you know, purchase programs as you know, to fill in gaps that maybe PBS doesn't fill. Or to get things, you know, that are generally entertaining, you know, the British comedies, mm-hmm, and Doctor Who and things like that are things that I go out and purchase and bring to the schedule. We, as you mentioned, we have three channels now. And in addition to WILL HD, we have World and Create. And for the most part, those latter two are nationally scheduled. I don't have a lot to do with those, but we do occasionally change up what's on those schedules, drop in some locally scheduled programs.
So as we go along this morning, if folks have questions about radio, television, the online content, anything, to do with Illinois Public Media and the WILL stations, just give us a call at 333-9455 or toll-free at 800-222-9455. Mark, the financial challenges facing the state and the university remain severe. They haven't gotten any better. What's the continuing impact on Illinois Public Media?
The continuing impact is that we have made reductions in our budgets, reductions in our staff, that we hope are deep enough and strong enough that from this point forward we can stabilize our finances, stabilize our operation, and buy us some time to begin to develop some alternate funding streams. In particular, we're looking for some grant opportunities around content creation. Certainly it used to be that with the state funding we received, we used that largely as a fund for funding local content creation. And with the loss of several hundred thousand dollars, that seed money went away. We're trying to find alternate sources for it. We believe strongly that the greatest value of a public media organization, public radio, public television, is in its local service. And a portion of that is your ability to create content serving and from your own community. Mm-hmm. So we are not abandoning that. We're just having to get more creative in how we pay for it.
Our first caller of the day is on line one from Champaign. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm a longtime listener and viewer of WILL products. But with the new shift to the three stations, I find that it's very difficult to easily determine what's on Create and World channels. You know, I get the Patterns magazine, but the what's printed in there is not very complete and hard to follow. I was wondering if you might consider a little better publication, an announcement of what's actually on at what time. So that was my comment. I find it very difficult to find a program on Create and World that I want to watch ahead of time and schedule my thoughts, my time to do that. Thank you very much. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I'm not the editor of the program guide, but I mean, I know something of the problems that they've had. We've had to cut back the number of pages in the magazine. There isn't room to do full schedules for all three channels. And I do understand the caller's concern because, I mean, the Create and World schedules are on a single page in our Patterns program guide. For what it's worth, I mean, you can find the Create and World schedules on our own website. So if you go to, will.illinois.edu and get down to the schedules page, you can see the schedules for all the channels and you can search for programs and all of that. And then, beyond that, there's a national page for Create TV. And I don't remember the URL off the top of my head, but if you Google for Create TV, you'll find that. And they recently added one for World, too. So, I know the schedules are out there, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a concern about the number of pages and patterns and what we can and can't do at this point.
We are putting more emphasis on our website for information because we have cut the pages and pattern. Mm-hmm. And nationally, a trend a lot of stations are following as they've had difficulty with budgets is to cut program guides. And so
sure.
Far, we've been able to continue to preserve our printed program guide in response to our members' wishes.
Line 4, Montgomery. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I want to thank you gentlemen for having the program on in the first place. And I think you do a great job, even though I've moved up north. I still listen to you on a regular basis. And I still get complaints from me being on too much on a regular basis to you guys, and I apologize for that. But I want to make a couple of suggestions, if I may. Maybe since I've been complained at, and a few other of us that I'm sure you've probably gotten complaints for, a limit to how many times a person can call in a month or a week and limit the time that they can spend on the radio. Would that be sufficient? I know there's a lot of people out there that kind of hate it for some reason when I speak, but I speak the truth. At least according to what the information I pull up, and I've been scolded, so to speak. So I just thought I'd put my 10 cents in. How do you guys, gentlemen, feel about that?
Well, generally, first of all, we don't ask anybody's name when they call. We don't even know who you are. We don't screen you. We basically, tell you you're line one, and then we put you on hold, and then we take the calls. In some extreme cases, I will say that we have restricted some people who have abused privileges, one of whom swore on the air, so we don't let that person on anymore. But generally, you know, we've tended to not restrict who gets to be on the air. We will sometimes restrict the amount of time if it's going on too long or somebody's getting, you know, way off topic and try to rein it in. But we want to have a free flow of discussion about ideas. We want to get as many viewpoints and ideas out. And if other people call and criticize you because you had a different viewpoint, well, you know, they're expressing their view of your view. And so we haven't gone to that thorough screening. I don't know. Maybe it's time to do that. We talk about it a lot. We just haven't chosen to do it yet.
I think you need to, only because I know from my personal opinion that there, well, what has happened to me, that I have been told that don't call as much.
Oh, did we tell you that?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
And I made, you know, I called down the office. I also donate money, but the only reason I'm making a stink about it is because there are people that called in just as much as me, if not more, on the same occasion. And I've never heard them get scolded, and yet they can constantly call in every day or every week. And I do realize there are people down there, because I'm not in the community anymore, that they don't like my opinion because it's been said that I don't know what I'm talking about. And and I don't take offense to that.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't know what, you know, that don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, I mean, they're part of the discussion, too. Hey, seriously, thanks for calling, and I will take that up with the producers of the show. I'm not in on every decision they make or, you know, the day-to-day operation of it, but I appreciate you bringing it to my attention, and, you know, we'll talk about that because you called and brought it up. Appreciate it. All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, we don't want to, you know, scold anybody unfairly if we have it going on by other people, too. We got to look at it, you know, some fair way, and I'll just make sure that's being done. I'm sure they've thought about it.
Line one in Champaign. Good morning.
Good morning. My comment will be short. Not all of us can use the computer to get the information that you suggest that we get from there. We're not all computer literate. Some of us don't have computers. And it's very frustrating to know that that's there, but there isn't any way to access it by calling the station, which I'm sure the station doesn't want. That's my comment. Thank you.
Well, we don't object to you calling the station.
Yeah.
You know, consider that a resource. We do staff with a live receptionist during our business hours, and we encourage that person to look up information for viewers and listeners and to help be that bridge. So, no, that is a service we're very happy to provide.
And, you know, that's something that you know, people can call me as well, or at least on the TV side. And, you know, I'm certainly willing to and perfectly happy to help with questions about the schedule. But, yeah, I mean, pages are definitely at an issue in patterns. We just don't have the room.
Mm-hmm. Line two, Urbana, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling to wonder if you could help me understand the reasoning behind doing away with the jazz and blues and folk programming on FM late on weekend nights. I mean, the only radio station we ever listen to is WLL AM and FM. But I really, really miss those shows, and I've talked to other people who feel the same way. And I understand that they're not expensive shows. I know they're not locally produced. But is there any way we could get back Blues Before Sunrise and Jazz on the Riverwalk and a variety of these shows that were on Friday and Saturday evenings?
Well, I'll take it, and then, Jay, if you have anything to add. It was among many decisions we made last spring that were driven by the cuts in funding. The programs themselves are not that expensive. However, you need a person to put together the schedules, because you're aggregating, you're licensing, you're purchasing, you're doing agreements for all those shows, making up the logs. And we also need then to have operators who can locally control those different programs. And among the cuts we made, we reduced we eliminated our radio program manager position, and we have reduced the number of board operators, technical directors, who are here physically to make those changes. We're relying increasingly on automation for some of our late night, overnight hours, weekend hours, things like that, as a cost savings.
Right, and in with that, to dovetail on that, some of those programs are produced by independent producers, and there is no technical standard for production in this industry. So in other words, what will happen is you'll download the programs. We download files. That's how we get programs now. And some of them will be very high volume. Some will be very low volume. We have to physically have somebody sit down and manipulate the level of that so that when it's played back by the computer, it plays at the right volume. Otherwise, some shows will be really loud. Some will be too soft to hear. And that, as Mark just pointed out, is something that takes time. And some of these programs don't physically become available until Friday afternoon, maybe, or you know, something like that, or after hours, or for the weekends when we're not staffed.
Well,
tough decision to make, but there's a lot behind the scenes that goes into it besides just, you know, scheduling them and acquiring them. So
I'd just like to urge you to, you know, the next round of review, take another look at that.
Yeah.
I think that you had a lot of people who liked those, and you know, see if there's some way to work around that, because you know, I think you also lose something if you're just using sort of canned, nationalized classical music.
There are trade-offs that we're not entirely happy with,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, it's a
right.
series of painful decisions. I lost some of the programs I like to listen to also.
Yeah,
me too.
Take another look at that the next round of review.
Yeah, thanks for
It's an ongoing process.
We will put that on the list, though. But, yeah, thank you. Thank you much.
And, indeed, you have brought programs back by popular demand. Fresh Air was gone for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have done that. We do try to be responsive as we can. We've just, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things behind the scenes. And as Mark said, that's forced us to make some decisions we didn't want to make. If we, you know, it wasn't because we wanted to.
One of the when we have to do staff reductions, it's in the past we've been able to contract and pretty much preserve everything that our viewers and listeners had relied on. We finally got to the point where we couldn't make them invisible cuts anymore, and we couldn't keep just pushing the work off onto a smaller and smaller group of employees. There is a breaking point, and we have to be mindful of that. We can't just say, add more to your duties, stay here longer.
Not unlike the university as a whole right now.
That's very true.
And at the same time, we have technologically created so many efficiencies in the past few years with use of computers, with use of computer networks, and we've worked a lot to create a newsroom, for instance, where a news reporter can sit at their desk and do a telephone interview or manipulate video, manipulate audio, and put it right into the place where it gets broadcast very efficiently. So, you know, while we're trying not to break everybody, you know, take them to the stressful breaking point with workload, we are making it more efficient for them to be able to do these things so that when they're putting, for instance, the candidate interviews, the videos of them, you know, it's a pretty simple process to add that on. But it's new territory and, you know, they're working into it. And we think that's valuable. You know, it's like I was telling somebody yesterday when I was looking at some of them, I was saying it's really cool not only to be able to hear the candidate, but to watch their body language while they're answering your questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an important dimension that we haven't really traditionally offered in radio, but now we can, and I think now we have to. So anyway, so there's trade-offs in what we're able to do, but, you know, there you go. It's good to tell us what it is you miss about it so that, you know, as we can restore things or create a new efficiency that will allow us to do it, there you go. We've got somebody who's weighed in.
Line one, Champagne, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm calling back. I'm sorry to take a second call, but I just thought of something. One thing we really missed is a weather team, and I noticed that it's very difficult. Is there a special time on WLAM when you actually broadcast the weather? We've been trying to find out the weather forecast, like in the morning for the day or in the evening for the next day, and there doesn't seem to be a set time when you can get a short, comprehensive forecast. Could you tell me?
All the same times you used to.
Is that right? We haven't noticed.
Except at the bottom of the hour, it's not at 35 after, it's at 33 after.
33 after each hour?
Mm-hmm. And at 9 minutes past each hour, and at 20 minutes past each hour, and at 10 minutes till each hour in the morning.
Okay.
All the same times we used to, even at 5:33 and 5:49.
Okay, we've noticed it's more difficult to find it now. I guess maybe that's but I'll try it. 33 after, 9 after, 20 and 10 after. Okay, we'll check that out. Thank you very much.
Very good. Yeah, we did not change the times of the weather, except for the bottom of the hour. We don't do the 5 minutes. We do a minute.
Mm-hmm.
at 33 past or 34 past. So it's right around that time.
Jay, a week ago we did a show on emergency preparedness, mm-hmm. and a caller raised a question that I promised I'd raise this morning, and that was that they've noticed periods of dead air on WILL AM during lightning storms. I said I thought the transmitter was resetting because I, in a previous life, worked at a station where we had the same problem.
I heard that, and you're right. I mean, you're on. What it is it's the transmitter protecting itself from being zapped, and part of that has got to do with the way that our antenna system is aged, some of the parts that are in our AM transmitter chain out there are 70 years old. They've been in constant use for 70 years. It's pretty amazing. So they've deteriorated, and a lot of it has to do with the grounding system, mm-hmm. instead of the lightning when it and the electrical interference when it hits where the towers are down on South First Street, being grounded, you know, into the ground like your TV antenna, your outdoor TV antenna at home, it's grounding through the guy wires. That's not right. And so what we have done, and Mark can explain more about the financial end of it if he'd like to take it from there, but our engineering department has tracked this and monitored it, and it's a deferred maintenance item that we're mm-hmm. extremely aware of. The problem has become worse to the point where Mark, as the GM, went to the dean, and they went up through the ladder at the university. And bottom line is the work is getting done. Very shortly it will begin to try to remedy as much of this as we can.
That was mentioned in Patterns this week.
It is, yeah. We've been aware of it. We had to research more to find specifically what it was that we had to address, and it was a combination of issues that were a result of long-standing mm-hmm. deferred maintenance because we did not have the funds, and the university mm-hmm. Has stepped up, as they did with our television and radio tower a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and is providing some special appropriation for us to deal with that. We hope before the wintertime. And get the tower painted back up to spec, and we think that these electrical changes will greatly increase our reliability during storms.
Yeah. It's only recently that the cattle were moved out.
That's right.
There were cattle prancing around where your ground field was.
Chewing on guy wires.
Chewing on things.
Rubbing on them.
We don't know what all. But it's, you know, it is what it is. The university's not flush. You know, it's not like we can sit there and put in a whole new system. The university has been great and said, yes, WILL is an important resource. We're going to help you get that part of it done. And hopefully that will remedy most of the problem that we're having with that. But what it is it's the transmitter shutting itself off to protect itself. And then we have to physically run into the master control room from the studio where we do the severe weather coverage and put it back on the air every time that happens. So mm-hmm. So visualize somebody running down the hall every time that happens. And that's what's going on. So hopefully it'll become more reliable. But I would tell people, especially at night, tune to 90.9 FM mm-hmm. because we do the same weather coverage on 90.9 FM as we do on 580. 90.9 FM at night has a much bigger coverage area than 580, and you don't hear all the static. And there's a generator out there that we put in.
Yeah. Which we put in this past year.
We put in this past mm-hmm. year, so WILL FM will be on the air. Even if the power goes out at the transmitter, unlike the AM, which it does not have that. So,
line one, Champaign.
Hello.
Yes.
I was calling because I've been a huge fan of David Inge's talk shows at 10 and 11 on 580, but I've not heard them recently, and I've enjoyed listening to Mr. Shoemaker and Terry Gross's interviews, but I was just hoping that this is just a short hiatus and that David Inge will return.
Yeah, they'll be back next week. It's an annual vacation.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you very much. I really enjoy those.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in. We'll let David and Celeste know. It's an annual vacation. They take about 2.5 weeks about this time every year off to mm-hmm. just kind of recharge their batteries. You can imagine.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. Thank
okay, well, thank you,
you
much. You. Yeah, you can imagine the daily grind of of doing all those interviews and reading all those books and preparing on all those subjects. And so they like to take a couple of weeks, because it takes a couple of weeks to really get your mind down and to where you're able to actually relax and do a little recharging. So they'll be back next week.
Well, the last couple of years, the way that you've filled it has been kind of interesting. This year it's been fun for me because I've done two of these.
And we thank you, Rick. And a lot of times what happens is we run a lot of rerun programs and try to fill in. This year, Harriet Williamson, the producer, decided to reach out to, friends at WILL such as yourself and Giselle. And Carol Spindell and Steve Shoemaker, who hosts Keeping the Faith for us, mm-hmm. Bill Hammack, who does science things for us, and we've had Steve Lyons in, and just a bunch of wonderful people from the community, David Teal, Jeff Bossert on our staff, Kimberly Cronick and others, and I'm leaving somebody out, but listen in about I think it's a little before 11 o'clock on Monday morning when I thank them all. I just recorded that this morning, and I'm trying to remember everybody. But it's great to be able to maintain that current, interesting, relevant programming instead of, doing the archives, because there are people like yourself, Rick, who will come in and have interesting topics that they want to bring to the table and be able to fill in during those weeks. So I it's been a lot of fun for me. I love listening to David and Celeste, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but this has been a really interesting couple of weeks, and it's another sign of how there are people who believe so much in this, like you. We're not paying you to do this.
No.
and who will come in and add to what we're doing here. So it's great. Oh, there's the whole list. Did I forget somebody? Robin Kaler.
Oh, okay.
I forget Robin Kaler came in and did a show with her sister that was really cool.
Oh, yeah, Kay. Yeah. Line two, Urbana, good morning.
Hi. What's the situation on your TV broadcast now? I live in an area of Urbana that I just cannot get anything over the air with rabbit ears. And I guess I understood that was because you're tower was in Monticello or someplace like that, mm-hmm. But that there might be some possibility of getting some booster or something locally. I don't know. What's the situation on that?
Well, the FCC has been hearing from a lot of stations that with the advent of digital television, their coverage areas got smaller than what they were under analog. They are moving slowly, considering the possibility of power increases for TV stations, and we're monitoring that pretty closely. we all have learned a lot over the last year about the characteristics of digital broadcast signals, and I know a lot of people don't like the answer. But the best way to increase your ability to receive a station is the quality of your antenna and how high it is. And for a lot of people, that means having to go to a rooftop antenna, just like the old days. There is an expense. It's certainly not pretty. We've gotten used to not having antennas, but that, for people on the fringe areas, that is the best short-term solution. In the meantime, we are continuing to monitor and pursue a power increase as soon as it's possible for us to file for one.
And the nature of digital is such that it's either there or it's not. With analog, you could get a fuzzy picture, but there's no such thing as a fuzzy picture.
There are other factors like leaves, mm-hmm. that nobody really anticipated, that leaves coming out in the spring would reduce your ability to receive signals, but they are very much a factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're going away pretty soon, I hope.
That might help you.
You may get a good signal soon.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and we are always looking, at ways to improve the signal reception. But, this is one of those cases where the government decided they were going to improve things by making it all digital, and this was an unanticipated consequence. Mm-hmm. We all went through the hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars expense to do this conversion. It was supposed to make everything better, but in some cases it did. In some cases, it didn't.
Sure.
So, it'll get figured out sooner or later.
Line one, Champagne.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I would like to respond to an earlier caller who was speaking about some of the programming that he had missed on WILL, like Blues Before Sunrise. I wanted to let people know about the local community radio stations that are available to, to them. For example, WRFU in the Independent Media Center. This is the community radio station that anyone can have input to, anyone can have a show on. And right now, we have a volunteer who downloads Blues Before Sunrise, and that program airs from midnight to 4 a.m. on Sundays on WRFU.
That's wonderful.
And you can check out WRFU at WRFU.net.
All right, good. And 104.5 FM in town. That's great. And, you know, I'm really glad you called, because we also have WEFT in town at 90.1 FM, the community station out of Champaign, that plays quite a bit of blues and jazz programming, a great diversity of music, as does WRFU, and a lot of interesting programs that I like to say that, you know, we have got here in Champaign-Urbana one of the greatest setups, because we have WILL AM, which can be the mainstream NPR news talk station and a lot of local talk. We also have our FM station, which is primarily classical music. We have 101.1 FM now, which is all classical music. And then we have WRFU and we have WEFT that offer just a myriad of great programming, a lot of locally originated programming, some syndicated, that we just wouldn't have the time to do, because, you know, there's a finite amount of time on our, and even though we have the three channels now, there's a finite amount of time. And then we have the cable channels. We have Urbana Public Television that offers just a, you know, a wonderful array of programs. UI7 has been growing in its offerings. Rick, I see you all the time on the Champaign Government Channel talking about issues. And Parkland's cable channel offers a lot of arts programming and informational programming. It's a really great, rich, diverse media community. So I'm really glad this caller called in and reminded us about the opportunities. Yeah.
Line three, Champaign.
Yes, I was calling in to put in a request to see if there's ever time in the programming to include Science Friday.
You know, that's an interesting thought. I just thought about that earlier this week. Previously, you know, we have run some Science Fridays, and on special occasions, they would give us special permission to do that. That's part of Talk of the Nation, which we didn't run because we were airing the afternoon magazine then, and Celeste was doing the local interview, but we had run some Science Fridays by special arrangement. But now I have noticed, now that you mention it, I was surfing around and looking at some other stations' schedules, as I do once in a while, to check out what people are doing. And there are a couple of stations that don't run Talk of the Nation but run Science Friday. So I'm going to have to get with Kate Dobrovolny, who is, you know, in charge of our acquired programming now, a station manager, and we'll talk about that. I'll bring that up to her, that we need to check with NPR to see if now that is something you can do, just get Science Friday.
Oh, that'd be great. It's such a wonderful program.
Yeah, and then we'd have to figure out where to run it, because we run Fresh Air there. But, you know, that's a good – thank you for that reminder.
Okay.
Put that down. There's Science Friday.
Okay. Line one, Champaign.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Jay. It was great to see you the other night at the Humbrick Symposium with your almost grown-up daughter.
I won't recognize you publicly unless you want me to.
No, you know who I
am. Okay,
hi. Because
we try not to give names.
A lot of people, anyway, will recognize my voice.
Yes.
But I have one suggestion for patterns.
Only
and,
one?
Just one.
Okay.
A little one that would help some with World. When you run a program in World that has been run on a regular program, when you run a program again on station one, you say repeated midnight at Tuesday at midnight and Wednesday at 4 a.m., whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just say repeated 7 p.m. Wednesday on World.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
That wouldn't take up much space,
yeah,
but it would help a lot. Because when I look in the World program, and it says Nova, for instance, I'm like, okay, which Nova program is this? you know, I know it's usually the one that's run a couple days before, but it would really help if I miss something that I really want to see, or if I, like Tuesday nights, I have a permanent thing, so I try to see when I can see those Tuesday night programs. If you would just put in there when that runs on World, as well as when it runs again in the middle of the night on Station 1, that would be helpful.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, it's a good suggestion. It, you know, the one thing that I will say is I honestly don't know how much that would add to the page count. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're doing it multiple times, it could add space that we don't have, but
I'll pass it on
because I mean,
I don't think that would be significant, but it would be really helpful.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Great, thanks, and it was good to see you the other night.
Yeah, thanks. Bye bye. Yeah.
That's a woman who has contributed so much to childhood education in this community.
You're listening to Focus on WILL AM. Our guest, Mark Leonard, General Manager of Illinois Public Media, Jay Pierce, Director of Created Content, and David Teal, the Program Director of WILL Television. You're always welcome to call at 333-9455 or toll-free at 1-800-222-9455, or you can send us an email at will-talk@illinois.edu. David, fall is, when we were growing up, two things happened in the fall. The new cars came out, and the new television season started.
Sure.
Sometimes on the same day. Not so much with the cars anymore, but still, and not quite as much with television
not
as used to
as
be,
much.
But still, this is a major time of year for you, and we've seen some of the new programming. What are some of the highlights of the fall?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, obviously we just got done with the 10th inning, and that'll be back in November with repeats of that program. But, you know, coming up next week, we have Patrick Stewart and Macbeth on next Wednesday night. Also, Michael Feinstein is doing a three-part American songbook. We've run that pledge special a number of times, but he's actually kind of expanded the concept out into 3 weeks where he's looking at the history of American music and really trying to preserve a lot of these songs that are in danger of disappearing. So that'll be Wednesdays at 7 o'clock beginning next week and for like 3 weeks. The one that I'm really excited about is a local show. And that's the Lord Is Not on Trial Here Today. And that's by our local producer, Jay Rosenstein, who's a faculty member here at the University of Illinois, has done some shows for us before. It's the story of Vashti McCollum and her battle that she took all the way up to the Supreme Court. It was a very important legal case that looked at the intersection between God and between faith and in the public schools, basically. And in fact, we're going to be airing a miniseries called God in America two weeks from now, beginning on the 11th for three nights. And that, again, takes a look at the intersection between matters of faith and how they have played out in the history of America. So, yeah,
and
good stuff.
And the
other good stuff coming.
And Jay Rosenstein's program, you're the sponsoring program. It's headed to PBS in the spring,
right? Yeah, it will be distributed nationally by PBS, but we get to air it. We're airing it on October 12th at 7 p.m. and then we'll actually repeat it that Friday at 7:30 p.m. October 15th with some local follow up, which we wouldn't have time to do in the first play. But we're gonna repeat it and actually have a discussion with Jay and Dan McCollum,
and you'll be able to be a part of that discussion. You'll be able to call in and talk about your memories of that time or questions about the relevance of that that fight in the way the law is interpreted today. So,
Line 1, Urbana, good morning.
Yes, hello. I have a couple questions and actually a comment. Science Friday is a wonderful show. If you could get that, I used to plan my Friday afternoons around it in other markets that I've lived in. But one question is, what are the chances of, say, a Diane Rehm show on the AM?
What are the chances?
Yeah,
there's
that's
always
a wonderful
chance,
show. Well, I guess in place of
David Inge, Focus?
Oh, no, heavens no.
Oh, well, it runs at the same time. That's the problem. It would be on right now.
Oh, no, everything local is wonderful, but
yeah.
In place of, say, like the BBC News or something like that.
Well, I mean, that's a thought. It's a cost issue. I'll tell you that.
You just match.
Yeah, it was it and you know when I was in charge of that, the acquire programs like that, it was a cost issue. It's a halfway expensive show, not the most expensive, but it's not the cheapest. And you know, I know it's very popular, but we were putting our money in Focus 580 called Focus Now, and
And many stations run it in lieu of doing their own local talk
programs.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
You know, that the priorities, that a lot of public radio stations will pair up Talk of the Nation, Diane Rehm, and, that's kind of their daytime
Strip
talk.
The day. Yeah.
We put a lot more emphasis on the local content here.
Yeah.
So there's less room.
That's wonderful, but even just like 1 hour of her, and I know I'm sure she's probably expensive, but the BBC News is just, there's so many, national issues that,
You'd like to hear that other point of view. That's a great comment, and I can I'll take that to Kate now. We put that in the I'll tell you, listenership for the BBC in the 9 o'clock hour is very high.
Is it really?
Yeah. The international news does very well on this station. I think that's reflective of the fact that the University of Illinois is a very international campus. And,
well, it is. I leave it on. Yeah. I leave it on, but then there's no better choice either.
Well, thank you for that.
In terms of, the entire market.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Well, I do have it down, and,
that's we're constantly evaluating.
Always evaluating, so you never know.
Thanks for the call.
News out of Washington is so relevant these days.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
But not to beat that one.
Sure.
That would be wonderful, but... is there any chance of ever bringing the weather crew back? It seems like the station just kind of lost its soul when you lost the weather department.
We lost our Sola, at least.
Yes, you did lose your Sola, and he is very missed.
I had lunch with him yesterday. He's doing okay.
Would be great. I heard the other night. On your station.
Yeah, Friday night, yeah.
Crazy.
Well, thanks for the comment about that. We're always evaluating, as Mark says. That was a hard one. That was a very hard one.
If the revenues started going up instead of going down, talk about restoring some of these. Right now we're living kind of hand to mouth and watching what happens with the state budget.
Yeah.
Sure, and I understand that completely. And you guys are really stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
But
thanks for putting that comment in. It's like I always try to say to explain to people that, Mike and Ed and their department was a very visible cut, but there were seven other people who did.
I know you guys must have been heartbroken.
And so
I really do.
Yeah, and the year before, there were two or three others, and the year before that, there were a couple. And so, as we look at it right now, one of my jobs is to produce local television programming, and we basically don't have any producers anymore. So we don't have a weather department, but we also don't have television, producers who produced things like Illinois Pioneers, Prairie Fire, documentaries and things like that. So we're having to rebuild as we can and, fill in around. So.
Thanks for the call.
Your local programming is wonderful.
Well, thank you much.
Thank you.
Can I throw out one kudo to
one quick one.
Steve? He had a show last week with about progressive religious leaders.
Yes. Steve Shoemaker.
Wonderful show.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'll let him know that you
he
said
he does
that.
A nice job.
Yeah. Yeah, he does a good job. And again, a volunteer in the community who produces, lines up his own shows, topics, and everything, and does them.
That call was taking place just as an email came in. It says, I notice you have a meteorologist back on. I think the most dramatic change made was the loss of the weather department. Really, is WILL better today than it was a year ago? I think it's more automated. To hear that you can get the weather from the internet is the same as you can get your NPR from the internet. Please, intelligent weather is important to your audience.
And we still do the weather.
Yeah.
Still give you the forecast.
Line 2, Urbana. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a friend of WILL, and my questions and comments today refer to the TV programming. One of your earlier comments were referring to the Patterns magazine and what you could do within the Patterns magazine.
Mm-hmm.
My questions relate to the onboard programming that I receive over the air, such that we don't watch TV too often, but we like certain shows. We attempt to scan for those shows automatically and then hit the record button so it will find them during the week for us. But I notice that often the programming just doesn't appear. Is that something that can be addressed?
What are you using? What are we talking about here?
A Dish PAL DTV VCR type of unit. It's not a VCR. It's a HD recorder.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I'm not the most technical person, so I can't really – I don't know specifically what you're using to record. I mean, but, we put – there's a schedule embedded in our program stream, our digital program stream, and we send listings out to all the listing services that have our complete schedule. So I'm not – unfortunately, I don't think I can really answer your question right now over the air, and I would suggest you might talk to our engineering department during business hours because they're better equipped to handle these kinds of questions.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay. Thank you.
The other comment that goes with that listing scheduling is she recommended telling when it would repeat. And if in your information it could say, Nova, this is what the program is, and it will repeat it these other times, that would also be helpful to us.
On an electronic guide?
In the electronic guide.
I have no real control over that, but okay.
We're trying to figure out how to manage the information where we used to have one TV station and one AM station and one FM station, and suddenly we have so many multiple channels that we're struggling in our own planning for how can we intelligently put that information out in the most useful manner, and we're not doing it well yet. We're still trying to figure that out.
I think it's worth pointing out, too, I mean, there's a million different ways that people are getting this information now. It used to all just be from the newspaper or our program.
It's all on different channels, through different services.
There are multiple. We've had this discussion at the Champaign-Urbana Cable Commission because there are multiple program guide companies out there whose service – I mean, the cable companies have
some
one, the satellite companies have one, and people with their own DVRs may subscribe to yet another. So
exactly.
It's kind of a mess.
I am on OTA, so over-the-air reception.
Over-the-air, and you're trying to digitally record it.
Yeah.
And it works quite well. It's just a matter of the guide, which should populate for a week at a time.
It should.
Does it work on other stations besides ours?
It's very hit and miss. If I pull up the guides, one station will have it for 5 days, and other stations will just be missing it. It'll say no information available.
And this is over the air.
Correct.
Call our engineering department and ask. Yeah. That's interesting, but it's interesting that it's also happening on other stations. So obviously it's not specific to us, but maybe there's something that they can help you with.
Okay.
Thank you. Good. Lexington, good morning on line three.
Good morning. If you hear some beeps and buzzes, it's because I'm combining soybeans, so you probably know where I'm going with.
There you go.
I want to say how much I appreciate the ag programming because it really keeps us in touch when we can't get a hold of, you know, your broker or anything like that. But I do miss the weather Mike and all the guys did for a while. But the one thing I wanted to comment on was that one of the ladies before spoke to, maybe not liking BBC World. And as a farmer, it's really good for us to hear different perspectives. I mean, how we are perceived in the world. And I learn a lot just by listening to what they have to say about what we're doing, how it pertains, how we're going to feed the world. So I really would miss that. And I really like your ag programming, and I like having Drew Lerner on, but I just hope that, you can muddle through this until things get better. And just thank you very much for everything you're doing for the ag programming.
Well, thank you. Thanks for feeding us.
Exactly.
Thank you for the comments.
Thank you. Line one in Champaign. Good morning.
Rick's pushing
buttons.
Yeah, I'm
pushing buttons madly here. Let's go to line two in Champaign right now. Good morning. Oh, okay.
Jason's giving you, don't touch those. Yeah. I'll do it.
Okay. All right. Now we're ready for line two.
Too.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is line two?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious about what happened to the Britcom, the old guys. I see.
Ah, oh, hey, a TV question. I can answer that. Well, that was the winner of our British comedy vote back in March. We aired a kind of a special preview episode during our last pledge drive, but the regular series, I think, will start in January. And right now, there'll just be 12 episodes to start with. But, yeah, that's what we're looking at.
Oh, okay.
It'll come in January on Saturday nights.
All right, great.
Uh-huh.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Let's see here. Line 3, Urbana. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I wanted to let you know that I appreciate the world news. I listen to it every day at work. I enjoy the knowing what's going on in the world. And I really appreciate it. And I would hate it if you cut it out.
Well, thanks.
Right. Thanks.
Good. Mark that one down. Whoops.
Okay. Good. Nobody there on that one.
Yeah, wow. There we
okay,
go.
There we go. I made it almost through 2 hours without messing up the phones. I want you to know that.
Right till the end, Rick.
We've got about a minute left here. Mark, I'll leave the final word to you.
Oh, thanks, Rick.
Surprise.
Yeah, we didn't choreograph this,
no,
did
we? No, we didn't.
Well, you know, I really enjoy these call-in shows a lot because, you know, we spend a lot of time talking internally about what the different trade-offs are, what the funding challenges are, all of this stuff. But it is it's wonderful to have a forum and a program where we can listen to you, and we're scribbling notes. I mean, Jay's got, mm-hmm. you know, got several different entries he's written down. And it's a way of demonstrating what we say all the time, which is we do listen. We are driven by our membership. Our membership support has been what has kept us strong through some really turbulent funding stretches, and it will continue to keep us strong going forward. We have a lot of technology at our fingertips. We have a lot of opportunity and a lot of challenges. But with your input, I think that we will continue to be able to make these stations stronger and stronger going forward. So thank you to the community for the support and interest in Illinois Public Media.
Thanks, gentlemen, for the hours.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for news from National Public Radio and hour number 2 of Focus this morning.